Welcome to Star from the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com, search for call ID 17702. Please use the Chrome browser, because otherwise you will be definitely not be able to use it. Now, also, if you wish to actually participate, you also can go to the YouTube live stream, which is also tweeted out. It's on the Facebook page. It's on the discussion board. So it's many places. So you should be able to easily find it. Talking about Twitter, of course, we have a Twitter's accounts, which are SFU on call. That's SFUONCALL. Also, I have my personal account called Paul Franz. That's PAULFRNZ. So to find me there, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. And you will find me. And of course, I have my Franz Games account for things like, oh, client updates and the like. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve Cole worked on Capital Log number 53 and may have found a useful fiction story, which would be awesome to hear. Also, he did some art for the GURPS Prime Directive revision, which is always good to see. And also, and as I told you last week, he actually worked on some art. He published some art for the Paladine for SFB Online and also for Shapeways. Oh boy, that's not good. So, also, Merchant of the Federation, which has been moved to staff review, which is awesome to hear. And other projects. Steve is also preparing for weight loss surgery on the 28th, so keep him in your prayers. And, of course, he's got up on a six-month backlog at FYEO. I don't know what that is, to be honest. But he's also completed 26 mile on his Fitbit. Dean C. Peckerman is going on SFB updates, also on the Grand Master Starship book. Jean was busy working on the GURPS Prime Directive revision, which I saw her post about many times on Facebook, and I'm always happy to see. And of course, she's been working on Shapeways and Facebook itself. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments, the Masters Tournament, we actually have four round two games done, which is good to see. I emailed my opponent and he has been quiet. I will need to email him again to see if everything's okay with him. Also, when it comes to Rat 48, there's still no progress. I had not seen any response to my Happy New Year post. And Jean hasn't seen anything from her post. So I'm almost wanted to close up the rat and say, okay, it's done. People are obviously not interested in playing it, so I should just close it up. And moving forward to the library progress, we actually have some library progress for this week. We have four more that have been converted, which are the Paladine, which I got back from Frank. So the completed conversions are 2,430, yet to be converted is 895, brings up the percent complete to 73.1%. That's with a little bit of rounding. It will be 73.08, but I rounded up to 0.1. But I figured you'd give me that slight little rounding. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have the lovely guess four. We have Russ and we have Dave. They're all in the chat room. Barry's not with us this evening, which is fine. Obviously, it's always enjoyable to have him around. Yeah. Guess we're just let you. Yeah, most of the chat is over here. There's not hardly anyone over there. When it comes to the chat, hopefully that will change. Nice to see you, Matt. Always good to have you. When it comes to this evening we're actually going to talk about a subject which actually is quite kind of interesting. The big thing about this evening's topic, which is playing games in the browser. Now, one of the reasons why I came up with this lovely, lovely topic, big surprise, I've been fortunate in these years to be able to come up with these inspirations during the week on things that have happened in my life that inspire me to talk about this topic. And this week, the inspiration comes from a guy named Al. Yes, Al. He's actually done something kind of neat. Oh, Lord. Okay. He's actually created he's added a tool to help him and his friends run Federation and Empire in a browser. And I thought that was quite cool. And I figured I'd talk about it a little bit here and discuss other ideas on that. And obviously the drawbacks and so forth. We've got some, and I figured that'd be a really good topic for this evening. Whoa. So this evening, we'll start with Alan. The reason why I laugh is because Al is like me. Al is a back-end developer. That means UI. What's a UI? Okay, it's things you get things done. I'm mainly a back-end person, too. Obviously, I've done a little bit of front-end work with it, SFU Online and working on that. Now, I'll point out again. The only reason SAP Online is as good as it currently is I had a great tutor, a great person who helped me to come, not with a vision, but definitely give me a better understanding about what it is when it comes to products and GUIs and user interaction and things like that. Am I a great? No. Au contraire, Montreal. I will have to agree that I am so. I get things done. I think I definitely feel like I'm better than I was when I first started this journey. And from before, and that personal ex was Paul Scott. He helped me through back in SAP Online, back in the 2x days, when I first moved over to Java from having an app which was pretty basic, written in Visual Basic. And I didn't write it in Visual Basic. The person named Greg Dykhouse wrote it in Visual Basic. And I took a project that I found online and I implemented and expanded on it and helped it to grow and helped it have the functionality that's required to do what I needed to do, including communications and sending things back and forth and all kinds of things that in the previous version, was done in a different way. So he helped me out a great deal. Now, to say Al got is rough is putting it lightly. It is a good framework. It's a good start. His map looks lovely. I love the functionality. He has taken care of the provinces and the Federation Empire. He's taken care of the moving of the ships. There comes to UX, there are some things to be desired because of things like something simple. Basically, all ships are just a stack of ships. And I'm sure that people are going to want, for Federation Empire, they're actually going to want the fleet counters. That's something he'll hopefully be working on. I already gave him some ideas of things to work on. And I think I told him I would come back. And I'd actually talk to him. I give him some ideas about user interaction, user interface, about what he could do to improve things. There are multiple things. Well, the simplest thing I told him was, obviously, click and drag needs to be smooth. Because currently, he's got it working kind of... What I told him was like Windows 2. It's actually worse than Windows 2. Windows 2, basically what you could do is when you clicked and dragged a window, the window didn't actually move. That's for you youngsters out there. It's like, huh? Yes, this was back in the day when it actually took a lot of CPU, a lot of resources to actually move something graphically. You used the CPU. You did not use the actual GPU. There was GPUs. There weren't the GPUs. There were none. We had graphics cards. We didn't really have GPUs like we have today, where you can offload a lot of what's happening onto the GPUs, and they can work. So what happens is when you click and drag his map, it doesn't even move. You click and drag the map, but as soon as you let go, then it redraws. And one thing I talked to him about is that I think I like to have him at least research. Do a quick check when it comes to optimization on whether, since the background map, including the bases, can be drawn quickly. You know, they can be drawn. If I figure that can be something that they can create an image on the server and then have it stored in the browser, bring it brought forward in the browser, because normally it's assuming you don't, zoom in and zoom out on the map itself. You don't change it that much. Because my guess is that currently he's drawing every single hex individually in JavaScript. And I think that's going to be quite, quite slow. He's drawing that on the canvas. So it's quite, quite slow. And surprise, surprise, Barry joins us. Hey, Barry, how you doing?
Hey, well, that's down nostalgia row. Windows 2, oh my.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It is quite...
And it would...
Continue.
Yeah, and it would run on a 48... It actually would run on a 286.
Yes, it would. That's before...
In fact, you might have been able to get it to run on an 8088.
I don't remember ever having a computer that ran DOS that ran on 8088, to be honest.
I remember working with 8088, 4.77 megahertz.
Mm-hmm.
Not gigahertz, megahertz.
Oh, understood. Barry, I worked back then. I was thrilled when I was able to upgrade my 386 machine. At work, they moved me from a 16 megahertz to 20 megahertz. Like, wow, I got this so much faster. It's like, wow, it's awesome. And wow, I even had two. I had a whole gig of RAM, too. Wow, it's awesome.
Wow, a gig?
Yeah, a gig.
You mean a meg?
Yeah, a meg. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. Yeah, gigabytes. What's gigabytes? Yeah. What's that?
I remember when they came out with the 386 chip, and they said it can directly address 32-bit address space. That's 4 gigabytes. And I was like, yeah, right. Nobody will ever have that much memory.
Oh, I know. I know. I remember doing that. I still remember doing some the DOS. And we actually, there's this product called, I think it was DOS 2G. And actually, yeah. it would create a protected mode program. So it actually could... You could actually allocate more memory and get a lot more done, which was awesome.
Right.
Oh, I still remember. Right.
There were a couple of products that allowed you to actually multitask that were basically sat on top of DOS.
Mm-hmm. Remember a product called Desk View?
Desk View. Desk View. Yeah.
Desk View. D-E-S-K View. DESQ.
Yeah, I remember it. I did some work in it too.
I always liked that. I thought that was so cool because you could actually do windowing.
Right, and then you had the extended memory and expanded memory.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, you know, the Owl, you know, so Owl is actually doing, functionality speaking, it works pretty well. It actually has a battle board. I told them there's some user UX stuff that definitely needs to be worked on, from simple things like the chat room. It needs to be better, much better than what he's got. He's got a concept of what I call is a PM. You can set it within the chat, a generic chat. You can send it to individual people or send it to a group of people within the chat, which is kind of neat. But there's no concept of public chat because of the chat room, the chat, whatever thing. It's basically designed for players to talk to each other. And I told him, like, Al, there's one thing that definitely, this is a non-starter. We don't have it. And that is, we need to have it so that people can watch the games. We need to have an observer mode.
So what got you started down the Windows 2.0? Nostalgia.
Oh, that was easy because of, you know how Google Maps, you can click and drag and it actually drags the map?
Yeah.
His drags, but it doesn't drag automatically. Yeah. You click and drag, it doesn't do anything until you let go of the mouse.
Oh, you're talking about SFB Online does not have drag.
Well, yeah. Well, that's different. His actually has drag per se, but it doesn't scroll. You click and drag, and then when you let go, then it redraws the map into the new location that you dragged it to.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how I went down. That's why I went down to the Windows 2X lane. Windows 2X was better, where you actually had the frame around the window.
Yeah, I missed two because I was using Amiga DOS back then.
Wow, I could not afford Amiga. I was working in. I was working in a DOS and DOS program, and then finally we ported it over to being Windows, which was interesting by itself because of originally I thought that Windows was, you know, each program in Windows was a separate memory space. Then I come to find out, no, it's not. It's all shared memory space. It's like, oh, That's interesting. Though some of that, what we had to get it so they could actually could share memory. One thing we did, because I thought this, is that we originally created DLLs, dynamic load libraries within Windows, so we could pass buffers back and forth between two different Windows. You know, Windows programs that we were running at the same time.
Yeah.
What was really interesting in my mind is when we converted from the DOS to the Windows, when it comes to, because one thing we would do is we would actually show statuses up on this little window. Well, obviously, because this is Windows and you have to kind of give up control, you have to let the message loop actually process messages. Otherwise, it looks like it's hung. So what we'd have to do is in those DOS programs, which we create DLLs from those DOS programs, we had to add into the loops, you know, that was processing, is to go and process some of the Windows messages and then come back so that actually it was interactive. Yes, Dave, this will be on the test.
Yeah, the Amiga was nice. It actually had a hardware graphics acceleration.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the Amiga was ahead of its time.
Oh, Amiga has way ahead of its time because of basically, it still had the concept of, if I recall correctly, like multitasking at the hardware level.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
which was quite cool, you know. And then, of course, by the time I actually could afford an Amiga, they stopped selling them. Commodore went under, and all that. It's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I know.
So I still have a fondness in my heart for Amigas.
It was a good computer, but it was. It was ahead of its time, but then they didn't have the research funds to keep improving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget why they actually went under.
What is that? Why they went under? Or?
Okay. See you, Matt. Have fun. Matthew Potter was in the chat room. He does a lot of work for the third gen conversions, and also he plays, you know, in, I think there is a campaign that Matt plays in on SMB Online. So
always I heard good. That Gamers of Winter did not have good attendance this year.
That would not surprise me, because
I heard snow.
Yeah, well, it's not that we actually got snow. It was the threat of snow. Leading up to the weekend, there was this big call that there was basically we were going to get a blizzard. And then not just a blizzard. We're supposed to get snow and then freezing rain and then snow again. That was the prediction. What actually happened, at least here where I live, we got maybe an inch of snow and then it turned into just rain. Now, of course, the difficult part was it stopped. Okay, it rained and it stopped raining, which is good, because then when it actually fast froze, because that's what happened on Sunday, it got down to like single digits. On Sunday,
oh, I remember that.
That's,
I know.
Mm-hmm, well, that, you know, it was then, you know, fortunately, you know, it had dried up enough so that you didn't have issues with people driving on the road. You know?
Yeah.
Which was,
well, I know, it got out to single digits on Sunday, and I was out briefly. And then Monday, it was still single digits when I woke up.
Yeah, I woke up to 5 degrees.
What's that?
I woke up to 5 degrees around here.
Yeah, I was at 6, but yeah, same thing. And but then Monday morning, I drove south for 4 hours. So I was watching that thermostat rise the whole ride. Sadly, right now I'm driving back north. So it's above freezing where I'm at, but I don't think it will stay that way.
Yeah, that was the fun part.
But yeah, I'm in Tennessee right now, but I'm headed up to Cincinnati.
Okay, cool. Which is about, well, be much colder. Because actually it was 54 degrees here this morning. And then before supper, it was down to 37 degrees.
Yeah.
But I was glad it was 54 degrees this morning because we lost power. So.
But in February 6th, the temperature rises significantly. Into the mid-80s.
Cool. Wow. Crazy weather.
That's because I'm traveling 4 hours south. By plane.
Yep, definitely makes a big difference. But getting back to the F&E board game, I think what Al's got is pretty good. You know, overall functionality speaking, I think he's got a lot of the back end work done. He needs some more, as I pointed out to him. We need to bifurcate. We have to separate user from empire, because currently his current board assumes that each player takes one empire. And I already told him, it's like, okay, Al, that's one thing you're going to need to work on, because of I'm willing to bet you there's more than one person that, as an F&E player, it's going to play multiple empires. You know, like one person will play the alliance, the other player will play the coalition, and boom, they'll go at it. They'll want to play the general war, especially given if they have it available online, so they can, you know, they can save it. Don't have to worry about leaving out a table, or do what some F&E players have done. And I know that this is true, which is they have a dedicated room for playing F&E because of they have cats and dogs and children.
So this is a new thing that somebody's actually developing a app or a program for F&E. Cool.
That's correct. Now, he was going to approach Steve Cole about it, and then he found out that basically I am the guy. There's no.
You had a license for F&E.
I have a license for F&E. I have a license for all ADB IP. I can use any of it. As long as ADB gets their cut, that's all they care about. Now, with this guy, it's going to be interesting for certain reasons, and that is the plan is at the moment. Now, I'm not sure how long it's going to take us to develop this. I'm willing to bet it's going to be at least 6 months to get it to the point where I am happy. minimum of two. Depends upon how much work he's willing to put into this. And here is always my difficulty. I don't like bringing this up to people because I don't want people to get excited about it. It's like, oh, we're going to have it. Here's always the difficulty with these people, with people that I've always worked with when it comes to S&P Online. They help out, they work, and then they disappear. And because they lose interest, and then they go bye-bye. In the case of Scott Burleson, He did a lot of work for the F&E stuff. The problem is, of course, then his day job took over, and he can't explain to his wife why he's helping me out to do this, because he might want to play a game online. You know? So, you know,
yeah.
My guess is Scott Burleson probably stopped playing F&E on Federation Empire completely and just focused on his day job. You know?
Right.
And it's like, so, and I'm one of the, as it is right now, Al's in between jobs. You know? Unfortunately.
And when he gets another job, all that time, yeah.
No, actually, here's the funny part.
I know.
Barry, here's the funny part. He'll have more time after he has his new job. Because currently, since he is, you're home alone. That means you can do all, honey, you can do this. You can do this. You got all these projects. So instead of doing what he wants to do, he has all these other projects he has to get done. So he told me in 2 weeks he has 10 hours to work on this.
Yeah, that's what wives do.
That is why it's good to have a small house and have a wife that has a daytime job.
I keep my wife in another state.
I know. But that's... But Barry, if you didn't have your job, where would you be?
If what's that?
If you didn't have your job right now, you'd be at home with your wife.
Oh, and she would have jobs for me like you wouldn't believe.
Yep. Oh, I know. So.
Oh, that's why I'm.
So, I'm not guaranteeing anything here at the moment. Right now, I just want to have the discussion about playing board games online. Oh, so not, sorry, nix that. Not online. Playing games overall in the browser. Basically, the browser as the UI. Funny thing, what was it? I just went to pogo.com today. I said, oh, what the heck? Let's try a game. And they go, oh, either you don't have the Flash plugin installed, or it's out of date. It's like, I don't have it installed. I don't use Flash for anything. And I want to say, Pogo, you got a problem, a big problem, because as of next year, Adobe will no longer be providing. I'm not sure if they're going to be. You're going to be de-supporting it. And the thing is, I am not sure if they're going to actually even have it available for you to download anymore. And having something that relies on the Adobe Flash plugin is not a viable thing going forward in the current market.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Java at the moment. If you try use a Java applet or a Java web start application. The big issue there is that Oracle himself has decided to de-support basically any UI work. Okay, don't mind me. I gotta do one quick thing. Okay,
I got a side question for you.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine recently accepted a job with Red Hat Linux. And I'm wondering, how does Red Hat make their money?
Services. And Lord knows, of course, you do realize Red Hat got bought by IBM.
I did not know that.
Yep. And they provide cloud services. I want to make sure I get this right. I think, Red Hat is the one behind OpenShift. The whole idea is, basically an open source cloud is the whole idea here.
Right.
And trust me, Red Hat is making quite a bit of money. They obviously they've heavily invested in Linux, but come on. Are you going as a business? Are you going to put software on your server and have no support contract for that operating system? That is where they made a lot of the money starting out with, and then of course they started moving to cloud products. And supporting those. So, and that's what IBM bought. Of course, IBM also bought my previous hosting provider. I'm going to say Rackspace. Yeah, Rackspace. Yeah, IBM bought Rackspace. So at the moment, I actually have an IBM account. I really got to see if there's some way of closing this sucker. Because I've had actually a Rackspace account, even though I no longer have any services with them. I still have an account with them. I'd like that to close the whole thing. Stop! Don't bother me anymore. I don't have services. I don't plan to have services with you in the future. So just get rid of my account. So I'll probably have to give somebody a call. That's what I have to do. Because that's one thing I like to do, which is kill all online accounts that I don't use. That's one thing I haven't done for a while, which is I haven't actually gone through my old accounts and tried to delete the ones that I can delete. Whether, it's like old Yahoo email accounts. I actually deleted my MySpace account way back when. Things like that. Where you have an account on somebody right. And you ask them to delete it. Because sometimes, a lot of times you have to actually contact support to say, can you delete my account? And usually they say, okay, no problem.
Right.
But that's usually the only way to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So what do you think so far of your online game with Through the Ages?
I suck. I should never gotten that colony, because as soon as I got that colony, the next player basically beat the snot out of me, grabbed the colony from me, because I use
a
good bit of my armies and defenses to get that one colony. And so right now I've got one soldier.
One thing the game will allow you to do, unfortunately, is you overpaid for it. You bid six, but I think you used like 8 or 10 to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you didn't have any defense cards, and the next guy just... I was like, And that's why I was the strongest militarily. And I passed on that colony, because buying or bidding on a colony, you guarantees it's going to make you weaker.
Oh, understood.
Yeah, well, that's live and learn. That's okay.
Yep. And the problem here's what the big issue right now is: I keep on getting beat up.
It's because.
I got no military strength, so he just keeps on beating on me and grabbing my culture.
Yeah.
Grabs my culture, grabs my people, he's just sucking me dry to the degree that it's getting to the point where I'm most probably just going to just, I'm just, I'll play it out, but that's about it. I'm not having fun playing. I'm just doing whatever.
Well, yeah, or you can resign. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, that's the problem is that once you get behind that far on the strength, it's like, oh, everybody sees you as a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have no way of building yourself back up. There's no way of defending yourself. And the further behind you get, the weaker you get, the easier it is to beat up on you.
18 naked cowboys in the showers at Ram Ranch. 15.
What?
Don't mind me.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I needed. This is one of those things that the current platform doesn't do a really good job at.
That is, why don't you play a whole bunch of single player games and then you'll learn the ropes and then you can come back and play multiplayer.
Yeah, I got to see if I have some time to do that. Because I'm still not quite... I'm used to playing the board game.
Right.
So when I can look out and actually get a good view of where I am in the game. On the iPad, yeah. It's a lot harder to see that. Yeah, it looks... They have these nice pretty things. But they make it harder to envision what you actually have.
Once you learn the user interface on that, it is actually very well done. And there's
I know it's very well done. It looks beautiful. It works great.
Yeah.
You know, and I have no problem with the user interface. It's just that it makes it more difficult to play because you always have to switching your views. You have to look at your view, then you can't just look at your view and then look at someone else and compare yours visually. You actually have to go back and forth between the two. I almost wanted to take a snapshot, print it out, so I have it on my printer so I can actually visually compare the two.
Well, there's some of the stuff you can actually see at a glance. That if you push one button, it'll unroll a lot of the stats for all four players.
Okay, I'll have to find that, where the heck that is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of information it gives to you that's like, wow. But you're right. There's a lot of information, and even when you're out looking at someone's board, you still have to dig into it to see what they've got.
Right, exactly.
Now I'm playing it on a phone, not a pad,
which makes things even more difficult for you, I would think.
It's not bad, but I've played enough that I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. I have not installed it on my phone because, like, no, I don't want it on my phone. I originally had Facebook on my phone. I deleted it from my phone. Deleted Facebook. I deleted Facebook Messenger. Actually, the reason why I did that is I got frustrated. I got this one guy with Starfleet Warlord, and I'm trying to go to bed. I'm trying to go to sleep, and he's messaging me in the middle of the freaking night. So I went, fine, I'm deleting it. So I deleted Messenger, I deleted Facebook. I said, forget it, I'm just not going to deal with it anymore. You know, I'll get to it when I get to it.
You can turn off notifications.
Oh, I can. I know I can turn off notifications. It's just that I was frustrated at that moment in time because I'm used to not having to do that. Yeah. I'm not having to use to put on do not disturb mode at night to say, okay, don't text me. Because normally, only people who text me that late at night are people who want to get who need to get me to me.
Right, right. Yeah, I had one about a week or two ago where I always put my phone on do not disturb mode, and I set it to the wake up timer. You know, bedtime, I think, is the app.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's in bedtime mode, it puts it in do not disturb. And so I think at one point, my boss tried to call me about midnight. And of course, he didn't get through. He left a message. He left a text. And all he had to do was call twice in a three-minute period to break through the do not disturb. But they didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. You know, that's fun about that. I've noticed that there's a spam caller. I know it's spam because it has the same error code, same prefix as me. No one has the same error code and prefix. And now they're double dialing. They're calling. Oh. They're hanging up. They're calling again, like 10 seconds later, to bypass the do not disturb.
Ooh. Oh, that's just rude.
Oh, I know. I still don't answer.
Oh, yeah. And of course, if you block it, then it comes up as a slightly different number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, there's a way to tell
do not disturb that, hey, I only want you to allow people on my contacts list to break through.
Yeah. Yeah. Though again, I think the way to break through also is the double call. That's so people who are not on your list can come through, can get through.
Yeah, but what they should have is that says, okay, I don't care if you double dial, you're only getting through if you double dial and you're on my contacts list.
Yeah, well, if you're I think I have the Do Not Disturb set to I consider my VIPs, or actually my favorite lists, which is basically all my family. It's on my favorites list.
Yeah.
In that case, that actually goes and it lets people through, which is understandable.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yep. So hopefully Al can get things going and we can get it working, because there's only so much I can promise him, you know, because of I worked out the deal with him. I said, okay, the only way I think we can get this thing to work, and I made sure that he was agreeable to it, which is basically I'll be running his software. I will be licensing his software, and he gets a cut of FNE online subscriptions, and that's how he gets his money. ADB gets their money. ADB's happy because it's licensed through me. The user accounts are, I do all the user account stuff through, I'm the one who does the subscriptions. I'm the one who does the user accounts. I'm the one who manages all of that. He doesn't have to worry about payment or anything like that. Any of that back end stuff, any of that integration stuff. He doesn't have to worry about that. I worry about that. I'm the person who takes care of it. The only thing he has to make
sure.
Sounds
like a win-win.
Yep. All he has to do is make sure that he can basically authenticate his service to me. That's the one thing we're going to have to work on. But that's right now, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
I'm more worried about him getting the functionality so we have a viable product, and then of course not just a minimum viable product, but also a product that people are going to want to use.
Yeah.
And there are definitely some work. Obviously, he's got some things in there which need to be removed. And they're understandable why they're there. Like he's got the URL for the web service that he uses, for the back end work. Mm-hmm. In the actual game room. That's debug. That's purely debug. You don't need it when you actually a person's playing. There is a refresh button, and even that, it's like, okay, I think we can keep the refresh button for a fail-safe so people don't click refresh in their browser, because most probably when they click refresh in the browser, it'll log them out, and they're going to have to log in again into the game, which might not be a bad thing, but, And
so he's actually running it through a web. He's actually writing a website that does this, or what's he writing it in? JavaScript or something?
That's one thing I did not ask him about. It's the whole concept of browser as the UI. And then he has the back end. Doing the database stuff, doing that kind of stuff, but all of the functionality, all the rules, all that stuff, it's an interactive web page, is what it is. And that's the way you want it. Now, there's a couple things I already talked to him about. It's like, okay, dude, you need to have it so you actually can use it on an iPad or a tablet. Basically, touch.
Yeah,
you have to responds to touch events. You cannot assume that people are going to be using this with a mouse.
Right.
And I was telling about some of the things that I can see happening with this, because I definitely can envision this to being something along the lines of SAP Online, where not everything's in a single window, i.e., you can actually have a separate window where you have fleet information or things like that, where you can pop up like that. That actually is a separate window, not a div within the actual window itself, but it acts as a separate window. Because Lord knows, sometimes those divs drive me freaking nuts because they're simulating a window. But doing a
Starfleet Battle doesn't run on a phone or a tablet, does it?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not at the moment.
Oh. Interesting.
Barry, that was one of my goals that I had for this past year. Was to get it so you could actually watch a game using the browser. I've got a lot of the back end code kind of done. I still got to debug it.
Interesting.
That's the thing that I haven't done, which is I did some work on debugging it, but still not quite working the way it's supposed to be working. Because basically I'm exposing the IRC server, but as a JSON based web service. It's basically what it is. So you can send the IRC commands, and I'll bring the stuff back, and there's all kinds of stuff that I wanted to do with it, especially the case of what I wanted to do is switch the Java client to use those services. The whole idea being you can use like IRC or even use everything, have it so it completely uses those web services, so then we don't have problems with disconnects. Because currently it's IRC based. IRC based is connection based. That means if you ever drop the connection, you have a bad connection between you and the SAP Online server, you get dropped.
Yeah.
All it takes is dropping like 10 packets and boom, it's gone.
Right.
Well, that's what, I don't think it's nearly as much of an issue as it was in the past. Because in the past, you know, people would have problems with being dropped because of their internet service was flaky. You know, oh, it works fine in my browser. Yeah, it works fine in your browser. Because your browser is taking this little resource, this little resource, this little resource, and if it doesn't quite draw fine on your in your browser window, what do you do? You hit a refresh button to reload. You can't do the same thing with SAP Online.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things I was thinking about doing. Now, you know, I first wanted to get it so that it had so you could actually watch SAP Online in a browser window, because of the guy on YouTube. He really wanted he wants more streaming of. Basically, SAP Online games. And the big problem with that, obviously, with that is that you have to have someone who's willing to do the streaming. And you say, oh, he wants me to do the streaming. Well, okay, the issue there is I have to know when the people are going to be playing their games, and I have to be available to do that.
Right. Well, the other thing, question would be, if you could come up with some way of recording the game so that every time an event occurred, which an event being a new impulse, it generates a frame. So you could have a YouTube video where it goes click, 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 like a metronome, where it goes steps through all the impulses.
Yeah, but at the same time, Barry, let's say... Actually, I worked on some of that. Actually, there's parts of that already in the client, just not connected up. At least I had the idea of it, which is the whole idea of an automated game log, where you could actually it would automatically take a screen, basically save what's on the board, and save it to a file, and then afterwards if you wanted to, you could annotate the whole thing. To say what, you know,
right.
Some of your thoughts on this impulse. Now, again, that's only going to show you the ships. It's not going to show you, what was the kind of damage that occurred? What's the SSDs for those ships?
Right.
So taking a screenshot doesn't show you anything in that case. Because most of the time people, they bring up the SSD to do something with the SSD, but then they, at least for me, a lot of times I have them on a tab. They don't have them. And then of course, then you have the issue of multi-monitor setups. Where you have the board on one window, you have your SSDs on another window.
Those of us who have that set up,
right. Lord knows, I know when Paul Scott was playing, was an avid player on SAP Online. That's one thing he did. I still remember when we did the whole Platinum Hat tournament, where you could actually we got it so that people could play on, play at Origins, but also interact with people online. Now, I remember him complaining about it too, because like, if I can stay at home and play on my computer, with my setup, because you could actually play on. There were certain games that basically we were asking people to play online using a laptops that I brought. So it's inferior setup to what they have at home, but they could play. And Paul Scott was complaining about that because, basically the people at home have an advantage because they have the full rig, and we have this jury-rigged setup that we have to play with. You know? But it's understandable. Yeah. But at the same time, we want the whole idea was to try to get it so that we can involve people that couldn't make it to Origins. And of course, then that transformed into just having the Platinum Hat, which was online only.
Right.
And the question is whether we'll ever have another one of those again. Because the last one, the 2017 tournament, lasts until 2018. So, what's that, Barry?
I may be able to make it to the next Council of Five.
Oh, cool. In October.
Yeah. My new job, I don't know if it was a typo or not, but in the offer letter, they gave me 16 days of vacation.
Cool. 3 weeks. Plus one.
Yeah.
Well, the question plus is, one. In my mind, when it comes to those kind of things, when it comes to vacation, does that include sick days? Days where basically you have to take off because you're so sick that you can't work. And then if you have separate sick days, then there's the whole game of, I'm quote unquote sick, but it's more of a mental sickness than actual physical sickness.
So far, I haven't taken a sick day yet since I started this job in August. And I've been suffering from the last 2 weeks from gout. Holy crap. That is painful. But I've made it to work every day. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, and when it was my own fault because I had been having steak every day for breakfast the last 3-4 months. Every single day I had steak for breakfast. And then one night I had shrimp and lobster for dinner, and the next morning it was like, oh my. And that's when I got, and I woke up with that, and I got the service call, and it was like, okay. So I had to drive 200 miles in the snow, and I was at the customer site, and my foot had swelled up to almost twice its normal size, and I had to climb up and down a lot of ladders.
Yikes.
It was not a fun day.
No, it never is.
Yeah. But I did not take a sick day.
Understood. So, yeah. I like to have, you know, it. Because the thing is, the great thing for at least SAP Online, even if I stick with most of the, you know, just have limited functionality in the web browser, so you can actually just might be able to chat and you can watch the games. You might not be able to play the games, but you can watch the games. I think that would be a great benefit to people. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So instead of having to worry about streaming the games, just, okay, well, you want to watch a game? Fine. You'll log in. You know, you go to this website and it will allow you to watch whatever game is currently being played. You know, start obviously small. Have it so you can do maybe a chat. Actually, the first thing would be is just have the board up and have it so that you can see the counters on the board. That's step number one. Step number two is adding chat ability. After you add chat ability, then the next one for that is having the availability that people can see the third gen SSDs. And that one's debatable on that. Because of, I know Steve Cole is really, you know, it's concerned enough as it is, you know, with the, you know, guys, Nickerson and not when we were using this, the what was the SSDs that are basically look like exact, look very closely like the ones that are available in the SSD modules, you know, the module Rs.
You mean the second gen?
Yeah, second gen, yeah.
Yeah.
So, third gen, we can get a, I think we can probably get away with showing it. Now, obviously, I know there's some people that don't like it at all because they're expecting it to look like the classic third gen. Second gen.
Right. That would be me.
And there's some people who actually quit SFB Online over that. You know? If I can't get the second gens I want, now here's always my question about those people is that is that big of an issue, or is it that you want to have the latest and greatest product for free?
Well,
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about some of the other people.
Yeah. Now. Question: are the tournament cruisers still second gen, or are they all third gen?
Yeah, they're still second gen. Those are ones that are freely available. That are downloadable from ADB's website.
Correct. So they're free downloads anyway.
So there's no reason to convert those when it comes to copyright materials. Now. Here is the possibility, though. If enough people start liking the third gens, that we actually get requested to convert the tournament ships to third gens, then we might have something to talk about.
Well, I know what you're saying. How many people prefer? Have you taken a poll?
No, that's the one thing I have not done yet.
Do more people? Yeah. Which do people prefer more, second or third? And a poll like that is dangerous because what happens if you take a poll and 95% of the people out there say, we hate these third gens, we really like the second generation?
Yeah.
Then you're screwed because it's like, well, sorry, but you're getting third.
Why am I screwed?
Well,
I'll take it into consideration. There's nothing I can do about it. You can tell me that you want the second gen, but I can't do it. And here's the one thing, Barry. Here's the one thing.
Yeah.
If I do a survey like that, I'm not going to tell people what the result is. It's none of their business what the result is.
That is true. Unless the results are what you hope. Unless the results are 95% say they love the third gen, then you'll announce it.
Yeah. Possible. Yeah, I'm not. I don't even. Barry, I might not even announce it. Obviously, one thing that would have to be part of that discussion, part of that survey, is if you like the third gen, would you like to see the tournament cruisers converted to the third gen SSDs? You know, some people would say, yeah, I'd like to see it. Or no, I'd like to see that. I want it in the classical SSDs so that, you know, I'm not confused when I play it, you know, in real life.
Yeah.
Because, come on.
I like the second gen.
Yeah. let's be honest here. Let's be bloody honest. How many people play Fleet Battles for SFB anymore?
Not many. I don't know.
And even the ones who do, how many do it using the board and not online?
Yeah. Did you say 90% of the people playing games are playing tournament games at this point?
Actually, that's one thing I've not been keeping an eye on, which I really should start logging the game rooms that are created and maybe add some analytics into the client itself. to what games are actually people are playing, because I know there are definitely at the moment there's more non-tournament games being played than tournaments.
Oh, okay.
Here's our biggest issue with S&P Online. People are not playing the tournaments that they're in. We're in round two of the Masters tournament, which started like, I forget whether it's 6 to 8 months ago. We've got one game of round three played for Rat 48. Let me just do one quick check here. If I recall correctly, that's Q2. So that means it started like in July.
Wow.
Yes. Now, I'm definitely have, there's some people that I've seen sign up, which I'm happy to see. Actually, I just got contacted by Carl Magnus, who's located in Norway. It's like, cool. Yeah, Rat 48, it's Q2. Ed Meister, I think it is, was his name. Let me see if I can bring that up, because I think he just re-signed up. Yeah, Ed Meister. He signed back up. He hasn't played for a long time, you know.
Right, right.
Whoops. Let me do something. I missed something. Okay. I was looking at my S&P Online subscription that I noticed one's like, wait a minute, I don't recognize that one. And I was right. It wasn't an S&P Online. It was actually Starfleet Warlord payment. Different. But that's another game that I want to encourage. I want to get going to being able to play online. Because and actually I've been doing some work on the back end to work on automating Starfleet Warlord. To at the very least, mm-hmm. have it so people can play. The learner's game, I can set them up and have it completely automated. They submit their turns and they get a result back, you know, and things like that. Possibly at some point, maybe even have it just, you know, they submit a turn, it comes back immediately and it comes back in their browser. And not have to send it via email, which would be quite cool. I think they're great for learning. Now, obviously, you could not expect the same results when you're playing a multiplayer game. But those, right. I would love to see, because if I could automate that whole process, everyone will be, you know, having available online. People could enter their orders online. They don't have to worry about installing the aid or worrying about messing with the files that I send people and things like that. So that simplifies that whole process. After I do that, then if you automate the whole process skipping people, because currently I'm kind of lax. When it comes to skipping people, I give them the one warning. I give them 24 hours. Say, okay, in 24 hours, I will be skipping you. Now, if a person emails me and say, you know, something happened, my wife was in the hospital, so you know, and I'll be lax and say, okay, fine, not taking consideration that, you know, you should not be waiting until Sunday to submit your orders that are due Sunday night.
Right.
But at the same time, here's always the difficult part about Starfleet Warlord and when it comes to a multiplayer game. One of the things you're doing in Starfleet Warlord, this is not just like Fortnite. Well, actually, it is kind of like Fortnite to a certain degree. In that It's kind of like Fortnite in the degree that it's a team sport. But in the case of Starfleet Warlord, it's more of you make deals. And you're making the deals in between turns, usually. So the question is, how long does it take you to discuss that deal?
Right.
You know? So they might be discussing it up to Friday night. And that means that they might change their orders based on how that deal goes. You know, whether they say, here's information about this sector, and I'll give it to you. You can have it. I won't fight you for it. You can take it. But see this sector over here? I want that sector. All I'm asking you to do is not fight me for that sector. You know, things like, you know, negotiations like that. Or, okay, you and I, we're going to gang up on this corporation. You know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why I understand why you want, in some cases, you want to delay it some. But there's some people that, I'm sorry, they're consistently late. They're consistently submitting their orders on Monday. After I give them a warning on Sunday about it. I almost think I should start having, so the orders, everything's due on Saturday. So that by the time people actually get everything in on Sunday, we'll be good. You know, but again, if I automate this whole process where my hands are now, I'm hands off. It's completely hands off. That means it will skip you. I have no control over it. It will be skipping you automatically. I have no way of stopping it. And since this is completely automated, I'm not entering any orders. You're entering them all yourself. If there's a mess up in your orders, it's your fault. That's another reason why I like having people send me the aid files, send me the automated orders, electronic orders, because those, they can't come back and say you messed it up.
Yeah.
For example, this last turn, I screwed up an order because the person's 8 looked like a 6. That's because it didn't close the loop on the top part of it. But if I actually looked at an actual 6, I could see that, oh, yeah, that 6 looks nothing like their 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can say, okay, well, yeah, you got a point there. You got a point there that, you know, that is an 8 and not a 6, you know. So I fixed that for them.
Yeah.
But in the case of electronic turns, there's nothing for me to do. You mess up, your fault.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I think playing games online, you know, whether Starfleet Warlord, SFB Online, or FNE, I think it's very viable. There's some other games I don't think are nearly, well, actually, I think most games are viable to play in the browser. The big question always is, and this is the one thing, for Starfleet Warlord, I think browser would be fantastic for it, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
For
I got a question. I bought the first edition of FNE when it first came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
After Federation Space,
remember,
huh?
Yeah, Federation and Space, yeah. And I never actually got to play anybody else at it. I just opened it up, read the rules. So I had heard later that it was an atrocity, but I never encountered that because I actually never got to play the game. And then I never continued after that. But I know that at a lot of the tournaments or a lot of the conventions, you got your F&E people, and they're a separate group.
Yeah. Well, the most part, they're a separate group. Why? Because playing F&E is a multi-day event.
Yeah.
And what happened at Origins is that they actually would gather together. They would organize things. And Chuck was really good at organizing things. Chuck Strong was really good at getting things organized. Have it so that you could actually have, you have people, okay, they bring the snacks, they'd hide that behind, you know, behind the table, you know, because in theory you weren't supposed to bring in your own food into the convention, but we brought it in. They brought it in anyway because of basically they were spending all day in that one room. They get in there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they'd end up there somewhere around 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And they're just playing this one game, and they did this for 3 days straight.
Wow. That's longer than Twilight Imperium.
Mm-hmm. And this is why, and people loved it, you know, because that's the great things about conventions. With convention compared to online, the great thing about conventions is your focus and what you are doing. That was a great thing about playing tournaments at Origins, is that you could be spending 3 days playing just SFB on just SFB.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to worry about distractions. Oh, honey, do this. Honey, do that. No. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm away from the wife. I'm away from the kids. And of course.
Yeah. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've been playing Starfleet Battles online, and my wife would walk up, well, since you're not doing anything important, I need you to do this and this and this and this. I tell people, you know, oops, I got a honeydew project, I'll be back.
No.
Yeah. 2 hours later.
Yeah. Oh,
3 hours later. Four hours later.
Great.
Okay, I'm back. Well,
with my wife, she knows if I'm playing online, I'm unavailable. I'm playing.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no honeydew.
You have a rare wife.
I'm sorry. In that case, what I would do, if I had to, I'd go to Starbucks and spend the night at Starbucks. if my wife was. So, you're not doing anything important. No, it's like being on the phone with somebody and talking to him. It's like, oh, you're not doing anything important. I'm sorry, that's being rude. Because if you're not playing with someone, you're chatting with someone. You know. What gives? You know, do I interrupt you when you're talking to your friends? Hmm. That's what I'm doing here. I'm chatting with my friends.
Yep, I know.
So anyway, well, I better shut things down because it's almost 11 o'clock now. I gotta get up in like 6 hours.
Yeah.
I still have to put this thing together.
All right. Okay, well, have a good night then.
Okay, you too, Barry.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. So we had a little, some discussion minced in with talking with Barry for a while. So hope you enjoyed the little chat with Barry. We talked about not just playing games online, but also playing games on the iPad, and also the good old days of DOS. And Lord knows that's what happens when Barry comes into the discussion. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.